At the Sound Healing Center, we have four main things going on: the Institute, the Sound Healing Store, the Sound Therapy Center, and the Sound Healing Research Foundation. At Globe Institute, we offer two sound healing certificates and one audio recording certificate. All of them are also offered online, as well as in person here in Sausalito, outside of San Francisco. We're the only state-approved college in the entire United States that offers sound healing. David has written the number one selling books in both fields, The Art of Mixing, The Art of Recording, and in Sound Healing, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. The Sound Healing Store has over 400 sound healing instruments and technologies. We also have a physical store where you can experience everything. In the store, we've got over 100 CDs and downloads. We've got all of my books. We have a full range of instruments, including crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, didgeridoos, gongs, drums, rattles, tuning forks, and a full range of melodic instruments. We also have a wide range of consciousness-raising technologies, including sound chambers. We have sacred geometries and pendants, color and light therapies. We also have our brainwave assessment kit software and the voice analysis software. And we've got a full range of vibroacoustic tools. We make sound lounges, sound tables, sound vests, sound pillows, sound dolphins, and bass straps. All of these are excellent for a wide range of physical and emotional issues and just getting you relaxed and blissed out. At the Sound Therapy Center, we have over a dozen treatments that we offer here in Sausalito, and many of them we offer online. At the Sound Healing Research Foundation, you can find over 1,000 clinical and student papers categorized for easy searching. You will also find the Medical Sound Association with over 1,000 doctors and sound therapists meeting bi-monthly to create treatment plans for a wide range of issues. These 30-page treatment plans are an excellent resource if you're working on a specific issue for yourself or a client. Check out medicalsoundassociation.com, where you can also join and attend our bi-monthly meetings. Finally, we have the Sound Education Association. We got a grant for $100,000 to bring our curriculum into two Montessori schools. With over 100 teachers and administrators, we've created over 2,500 exercises for kids from 3 months up to 18 years, all based on the books on brain development. We're now expanding the curriculum and creating schools around the world. Check out soundeducationassociation.com, where you can also join for free. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. You can also email us at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call 415-777-2486. Now enjoy the podcast. Hi there, I'm David. Let me tell you about some things going on at the Institute. We've got my book, The Sound Loving Relationships, is out. It's all about being whole on your own with many techniques for dealing with relationships and being completely at peace no matter what. We also have an open house coming up July 6th here in Sausalito outside San Francisco. It's all about how sound works physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But the big thing we have is starting this Tuesday, we've got our summer intensive. There's still room if you wanted to join. It's June 10th to the 20th, 10 to 9:30 every day. It's all about how to become a sound practitioner, to work on yourself, heal yourself, get high, and also do sound concerts, sound baths, and workshops. And we also have the program completely online you can do as well. And that starts June 21st is the next start time. We also have a recording program starting September 23rd. I not only wrote the main book in sound healing, but in recording as well. And it's all about how to record, mix, and produce. And then we got a sound bath with Rudy Celli.
She does looping, where she actually will get multiple parts going with her cello, so they're all synced together. It's really, really cool. She's incredible. That's July 5th at the Institute in Sausalito. We also have our sound healing retreat in Mount Shasta that we do every year on the August 9th and 10th. On the 10th, we go up on the mountain and get blessed out with the Lemurians, hanging out with those higher beings up there. It's really quite amazing up there. I highly recommend that. And then we also have our voice analysis software. The next training for it, if you buy it, is July 13th. You have to buy it by July 8th. You can also get a treatment as well. So those are the different things happening at the Institute. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. So today's show is about endocrine glands. Now, endocrine glands are really important as to how they affect your whole system. In fact, I don't think we even know exactly how endocrine glands work for the whole body. We know some things, but here's the interesting thing, and I learned this from the book Be Here Now, like 40 years ago. The endocrine glands are tied to the chakras, and chakras are frequency devices. Chakras are really well affected by frequency. Now, we're not going to be talking about the frequency of the chakras because I've done many classes on chakras, and we're not going to get into chakras very much. But the deal is, you know, different people have different frequencies and notes for chakras. The C to B thing is the most common. C for the root, D, E, F, G, A, B, for B for the crown, for all the chakras. But cultures actually use different notes. So in Tibet, they use A for the root chakra. And then in China, there's a system where they use F for the root chakra. And around here, we believe that everybody's chakras are different notes. So your home note of your metabolism is your root chakra. So my root chakra is B flat, right, which would often be thought of as the crown chakra. But no. But regardless of the notes or the frequencies, because there's a whole range of frequencies we cover for each of the chakras, the main thing is when you actually use frequencies on chakras, the chakras are directly connected to the endocrine glands. And in fact, this one guy did an article about how the endocrine glands are actually divided into two parts, one that does hormones and another that does the sensory part or the energetic part. And he gets into detail, and I want to share that article with you because it's really, really interesting. And then we will go through all the different endocrine glands and talk about different frequencies for them. So the interesting thing about endocrine glands is that everybody talks about having a balance of endocrine glands. And you can have a hormonal imbalance, right? Well, check it out. Here's what they say the endocrine glands do. They affect heart rate and body temperature, balance or just peace, homeostasis, growth and development, sleep and wake cycles, daily energy, metabolism and weight control, sexual function and reproduction, mood and overall mental function. And here's some signs that your hormones are out of balance. Well, you have regular periods or don't. Your weight is relatively steady when it's in balance. Your skin is clear and healthy. Your energy and mood are stable. Your sexual response is normal. Here's another article where they talk about 11 signs that your hormones are seriously out of whack. You poop a lot more or less, right? And that's based on thyroid, actually. Your eyes look bigger. and your also hair stops growing. You forget things. Your skin is dry. You're getting a lot of yeast infections. You're peeing all the time. Your gums bleed more than usual. Your feet are bigger. You have a metallic taste in your mouth, and you notice dark spots. Well, here's the deal. You know, as we know around here, everything is frequency. Every single thing in the universe is an actual frequency. So when we look at the actual frequency of things, we can actually resonate them into a healthy state by playing the frequency to them. Here's a list of different frequencies that different people have come up with for the endocrine glands. So we've got the pineal gland, we've got 1165, that's really high. 15 and 20, which is really low. Pituitary gland, full range of frequencies, 1175, 1051, 1093, 1, 1.05, 7.83, which is the Schumann resonance, 13 and 31.32 for the pituitary gland. And then for the thyroid, we got 1174, 1174, 12, 492.80.5, and then 7 point for the thymus, 787, 10.5, 352, and for the adrenals, 874, 492.8, 8, 20, and 10. When it's below 20 hertz, that's a rhythm. So rhythms, that's what it seems unusual that there's low and high. I mean, the truth is, we don't really have any standards for measuring different organs or endocrine glands. I mean, what are we talking about? The whole endocrine gland, we're talking about the hormones themselves, we're talking about the materials of the endocrine glands, I mean, or just the energy of the endocrine glands that's going to have a certain frequency. I mean, we could even look at it electromagnetically and look at it from the photon level, the light level. You know, there's so many different possibilities for a frequency of anything in the body, and everybody's different. Right? Everybody's a little bit different. I would bet that everybody's not exactly the same frequency for each of the endocrine glands. But then, there's not only the frequency, there's the combination of frequencies that make up an endocrine gland. It's like, you know, that everything isn't just one frequency. So, now, ultimately, when we really get some serious science down about this, then we can really mess up the hormonal balance, right? Because hormonal balance is really important. I mean, you mess up hormonal balance, you can really throw your system off a lot. But this is really cool. I mean, you can already, there's blood tests that tell certain things about hormones. But, you know, I mean, what is hormonal balance? I mean, it's really, if it's all frequency, it's a balance of the frequencies which must be in relation to each other as far as musical intervals. So ultimately, when we look at them from a frequency perspective, we can really get pretty far along once there's some science about this. Now, we've talked about how to actually find frequencies yourself. And one way is to intuitively go up and down until you find the frequency that feels right. Now, most of the endocrine glands, I can't feel. So if I make a sound out loud and I go, wee, to find an endocrine gland up and down, I'm not really going to feel it myself. So what I've taught before is to actually find it intuitively. So, for example, if you want to find the frequency of your adrenals, you can simply go up and down in your head with frequency, and when you get to the right frequency of the adrenals, then it's like a little fairy goes, there it is, there it is, right? Or it's feeling where you just know it's it. Let me give you an example. I'm going to do it myself. Okay? I'm going to go up and down and find my adrenals. adrenals. Let me show you the adrenals while we're at it. We're going to look at all the different endocrine glands. Okay. This is a program that doctors use in training. So here's the adrenals on right on top of the kidneys, a little pyramid right here. That's about a half inch or inch high, and it's pyramid shape. It's really interesting. So it's small, so it's going to have a higher frequency. Okay, so I'm going to go up and down and see if I can find my adrenal. I went up and down until I found. Now, I've gotten really good at this. When you get really good, you don't have to go up and down. You just go right to it. Right? And that's really cool. Even if you don't get the frequency right, it's still really good for you because you're sending a vowel, which is stable, consistent peace. But, you know, practice a bit and you can get really good at finding these frequencies. Or, you know, maybe it's worth it to go ahead and just play with all the different frequencies that I told you for the each endocrine gland. And, you know, maybe those will do something. I mean, you know, I'm not a baby tosser. It's worth trying to try all these different frequencies we talked about earlier. All right. So let's talk about the endocrine glands in relation to the chakras and based on this article that I told you I found. So here he says the endocrine glands perceive sensory energies received through the respective chakras and transmit these sensory impulses to the brain. Secondly, they regulate many body functions through hormones which are released into the bloodstream. These two roles, of course, are closely interrelated. In some of the endocrine glands, the structural separation between the two functions is quite distinct. In other cases, it is more subtle. The primary distinguishing characteristic between the sensory and the hormonal is that the sensory units tend to be heavily populated with receptor cells and corresponding nerve fibers, while the hormonal units tend to involve a more extensive blood flow. Okay, I'm going to go to the bottom instead of starting at the top. I'm going to go down to the root chakra. Right. Now, the root chakra, most people say there is no endocrine gland for the root chakra. But some people say it's the coccygeal nerve. The coccygeal nerve, I don't even know what that is. But I've got a frequency for the coccygeal nerve. Let me play it for you and see how this feels. So tune in to the base of your spine or even lower at the perineum for your root chakra, which is, and here is the sound for the coccygeal nerve. Okay, check this. A little annoying. This is meant to be played on the body, so I won't play it long. So a warning is a little annoying, but it's still interesting to listen to. Okay. If you have headphones, you'll hear the bass better because there is some bass frequencies in there. I actually felt that at my root chakra. I don't think I've ever even played this one before, but it was really, really quite effective. Right. So the second chakra is tied to the sexual organs, right? Sexual glands and chakra. The gonads, again, it's split into two, sensory and hormonal. The gonads consist of the testicles and ovaries, and the gonads are the only aspect of the sexual glands which are involved in hormonal and reproductive aspects. The sensory aspect is the genitalia, right? So it's completely split up. Now, different people have talked about different frequencies. I mean, someone said C-sharp is the clitoris, right? I mean, regardless of the actual frequency, I can tell you, oh my God, getting down right on the sexual organs and doing sound right on them, vibrating them, is really cool. I guess it's like a vibrator, right? But it's like to do it with your mouth. It's like, I'll go no further. I'll get in trouble here if I go any further. You know, but, you know, to try and play with different frequencies with your partner is really interesting. You know, do a frequency sweep and say, hey, when does that one, what frequency actually really does it, right? And you can email me and get back to me on that one, okay? So that's the second chakra. Okay, then we have the adrenals and the solar plexus. There's some people say the adrenals are the root chakra, but most people I've talked to that I trust say it's the actual third chakra. So if we look at, let's look at the adrenals again here. So here's the adrenals on top of the kidneys. And so we have a class with Lisa Raphael, and she talks about using the adrenals to actually sense what's going on in the room or with sense other people. And it's many people talk about having a gut feeling about something. And I've heard many stories about people actually using their solar plexus to actually channel information or do, you know, psychic work. And that's actually a portal. And it's the adrenals that are actually doing that sensory part. Let me show you what this guy says about them, which is really interesting. He says, they're located on top of each gland itself is two segments. The outer portion is known as the cortex, and the inner portion of the adrenals is known as the medulla. The cortex is involved primarily with the pharmacological aspects of the gland and produces a family of substances known as steroids. Unfortunately, steroids are probably best known for their inappropriate use for muscle building, but the adrenal glands are also well known for the production of adrenaline. Adrenaline energizes the muscles of the body, especially the muscles of the circulatory and digestive systems. The medulla is the portion, that's the sensory part, of the which is involved in sensory. It's heavily populated with chromaffin nerve cells, which are connected into the spinal nerve system via the choliac ganglion. The ganglion is located in the area of the body generally known as the solar plexus. The chromaffin nerve cells are essentially chemoreceptor cells, which have similarity to the chemoreceptor cells found in the olfactory glands. It's like you've got a nose in your adrenals. It's like, you know, we smell a rat, right? And so we're common here, you know, about the sensory aspect of adrenals. So that's the adrenals, totally split into sensory and hormonal functions. Then we've got the thymus. The thymus says two parts, thymus cervical extensions and the thymus glands and heart. He says the thymus cervical extensions are the high heart, and people commonly talk about the thymus being the high heart where universal love comes in. I actually had a psychic that told me, my God, 30 years ago, she said, Dave, universal love comes in through the thymus down into the heart. And so I started visualizing universal love coming in. It took me about 6 or 7 years where I could actually run universal love through my thymus down in my heart. Let me do it now, and then I'll do it with the sound. Now I'll make a sound. So it's very cool to play with that. When I was in Egypt, we actually did toning and for a half hour or more in different chambers, and then the ceiling would open up and love would pour into our hearts. And I felt it coming through the thymus right down into my heart. Okay. So he says the medical science has ignored the cervical extensions of the thymus. The chakra is where the clavicle bones join the upper manubrium of the sternum. For lack of a better term, we have elected to refer to this chakra as a high heart. Like the throat chakra, it's bidirectional. Although the hormonal functions of the cervical extensions have not been identified, they're known to control a large number of nerve fibers within the cervical extensions. But then there's the thymus itself, which he says is the heart chakra. Thymus glands are part of the endocrine, they're really good for the immune system, the thymus. The predominant cells within the interior of the thymus are epithelial-type receptor cells, which are similar in structure to the chemoreceptor cells of the taste buds of the tongue. It's like you got taste buds in your thymus. Just as the brow chakra corresponds to sight, the throat chakra corresponds to a sense of hearing. The heart chakra seems to be correspond. The heart chakra is correspond to taste. So when you have a relationship, you can think of it as taste: sweet, sour, salty, or bitter. That's funny, huh? Right. Let me play a frequency from Peter Guy Manners for the actual thymus. See how this feels. For universal love. Again, you can just go up and down in frequency and find it. And remember, every endocrine gland, every organ, every part of the body has its own tonality, which is simply a vowel or a syllable. So you can play with different vowels and syllables and see what you come up with. I mean, is it, you know, if I were to actually guess, I immediately, for some reason, I think of a ooh for the thymus, although some people often think of ah for love, so it could be ah. There's a lot of different syllables, so try, you know, different vowels and syllables yourself and see what resonates for you. Until we have some science, it's best to expand your intuition so you know, and really ultimately that's the best anyway. So, you know, like the shaman who can hear the song of the plant, find it yourself. And don't even worry about what somebody says. Okay, so the next one is the thyroid. Let me show you. I didn't even show you the thymus here. Okay, so here's the thymus here. Even kind of looks like a heart, right? Let's see, it's right here. Let me scroll down. And you also, when you tap on it, it can be really effective as well to actually activate it for your immune system. Okay, then we have the thyroid. Thyroid's in the throat, of course. And let's look a little closer at it here. Kind of a U-shaped, almost like an upside-down something you'd find in Rome. It's interesting. Arch, upside down arch. Okay, so here's our thyroid. Now, the thyroid, let me tell you what this guy says about the thyroid. This article was on the web, but now it's disappeared, so you can't really find it there anymore. Okay, he says the thyroid is the primary lobe is on each side of the trachea. The chakra is bidirectional in that it extends outward toward the front and outward toward the rear of the throat area. It is able to both receive and transmit energies. Within the two lobes of the thyroid, we find an interesting cell structure. It consists of closely packed, spherical-shaped follicles, some of which are as much as a millimeter in diameter. The interior of these follicles is filled with colloidal liquid, and the interior surface of the follicles has a profusion of minute hair-like extensions protruding into the liquid. That's exactly like the hairs in the cochlea that actually transmit electrical frequencies into your brain for sound. It's like we've got an ear in our throat chakra, in the thyroid. And, you know, commonly people and doggies lift your head to open up your throat chakra when you're listening. And it's really cool because that's where we make sound. So you got this immediate feedback loop back through the thyroid when you actually make sound. And he says the sound waves are translated into vibratory movements within the liquid, which in turn create slight movements in the hair-like projections. These in turn are transmitted into nerve impulses transmitted to the brain. The mystics associate with clairaudience, and this seems to make sense. Okay. I would bet you could overcome many types of thyroid issues. Who knows for sure? But I know when my thyroid is buzzing, like a little tension in it, I can tone to it and it will stop buzzing. And that's the case with all endocrine glands. When they're buzzing, just tone to them, because you can overcome that chaos with the stable, consistent vibration of the vowel. Vowels are stable, consistent, because they're more like sine waves. Ooh, ee, a lot better than it, right? So, it's really cool. Let me play for you a frequency of the thyroid, see how this feels. It's actually a combination of five frequencies. We should have, science should figure out exactly these frequencies for sure, and combination of frequencies. Oh my God, you know, we could totally figure out hormonal balance and activate or deactivate, because sometimes endocrine glands are overactive, and really get them back to your norm. So we still have to measure what your norm is from everybody's norm, because I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same at all. Okay. So, but you can also, right now, still just go up and down and intuitively find it yourself. Find the frequency or note that actually feels the best on your throat chakra, thyroid. Okay. Then we get to the third eye, which is the hypothalamus and pituitary gland. Most people say the hypothalamus and pituitary are the actual third eye. So let's take a look at these. There we go. Where did it go? There we go. Okay. So this whole contraption up in the third eye and crown area in the middle of the head is, I've heard various psychics have said that it's actually not just the hypothalamus third eye or hypothalamus and pituitary and pineal. It's actually the whole contraption. And so here we're looking at it really close up. So if you look from at the very bottom, there's a P called the pars distalis, and the pituitary is actually in the back of that, where we have the actual pituitary. And then right above that is the optic chiasm, and above that is the actual hypothalamus, and above that is the thalamus. And there's even some other parts, you know, in between. So it's like this whole contraption, I've heard, is a, it's like a canal. It's an, actually a whole channel where energy and fluids flow between all of them. So it's not just one of the glands. It's this whole system of flow that actually creates your third eye chakra, and that energetically. So, I mean, I don't think we even really know the whole deal, but we do have frequencies for at least the hypothalamus and pituitary. Let me play those first, and then we'll listen to some music of it. Okay, here's the hypothalamus. Open in your third eye now. Again, these frequencies are from Peter Guy Manners, who did a lot of research and worked with the doctors from Germany, actually, a long time ago. And here's the frequency of the pituitary. That one feels good to me. By the way, you can find this CD, the Simon Endocrine Glands CD, on our site. And it's even, you know, it's nice to even just play these frequencies with headphones on your head or on the different endocrine glands instead of listening to them. Listening, if you can handle it, listening can be interesting as well. Now I want to play for you a thing from Tom Kenyon for the pituitary. Tom Kenyon is the most famous sound healer on the planet. He has a whole movie about him, and he channels the Hathors, which are these aliens from ancient Egypt, out of Venus as well, and they make sounds through his voice. So this is Tom Kenyon channeling the Hathors through his voice for the pituitary gland, and it's multi-track, so there's multiple channels of his voice. Check it out and see what you think here. Tune into your third eye now.
Thank you.
pretty effective for me. Oh my God. You know, I always thought it would be really cool to find the frequency, even if we have to find it for each person, and be able to resonate this precisely to really open up the third eye for everybody. But then my guide said, got to be careful. A lot of people aren't ready to have their third eye opened. And I know a couple of people that actually had a Shaktipat where they opened up chakras before they were ready and were paralyzed for a week, actually. So it can be really dangerous. Even Tom Kenyon had a opening of the Kundalini energy before he was ready and was in the hospital for like a week. And so you really got to be careful. I actually had this sound healer come about 15 years ago to the school, and he said, it was very powerful, and he said, can I do a treatment on you? And he did. And he opened up my third eye before I was ready, and I was thrown off for like weeks, and finally one of my psychic instructors fixed it and did basically closed. I think I'm ready now, but you know, I know I'm ready because I'm quite open a lot. But a lot of people aren't, and we really have to be careful with that. So although there might be techniques where we can prepare people so they are ready, I think my guess is that the biggest problem is that Kundalini energy gets stuck in the heart because people aren't heart open enough, and then that's where the blockage happens and it doesn't make it up, and that blockage really just creates a whole problem where people are paralyzed. So I don't know. We don't really know much around here, do we? Also, I was going to show you the article. I didn't show you what this guy says about it. He says the pituitary and hypothalamus is just in front of the pons, a unit of the brain stem. It has two sections. The posterior is known as the neuropophysis, and the anterior is the adrenopophysis. That's close pronunciation. The neuropophysis connects directly on to the top of the brain stem via the pituitary stalk. This stalk is filled with a bundle of nerve fibers which interconnect to the ganglia of the hypothalamus. So the pituitary is connected to the hypothalamus. Similarly to the pineal, there are photoreceptor cells within the posterior wall, and very much like the photoreceptor cells within the eye. The brow chakra is the third eye, and they've actually measured frequencies in there in the third eye and the hypothalamus. The brain waves are closely related to the functioning of the hypothalamus, and it secretes melatonin for waking and sleeping. It's also mind-altering drugs function through the pharmacology of the hypothalamus to artificially alter the states of consciousness. Who needs drugs when we have sound these days, right? Who needs drugs at all? We've got sound drugs. Right? It's so cool, and there's hardly any side effects. No side effect. Those are the hypothalamus and pituitary gland. Then we have the pineal gland. René Descartes called it the seat of the soul. It's a similar in shape is similar to that of a small foot without the toes. It is suspended by a stalk, which corresponds to the manner in which the ankle is attached to the foot. Its size is slightly less than a half inch across the base of the foot. It's divided into two segments. The anterior is the hormonal function. The posterior is the sensory part. And they say that sensory part is actually photoreceptor cells, but actually crystals, which receive information from higher energy. This guy says that the crown doesn't transmit, although when you're receiving and resonating, it's always kind of transmitting in a way, but it's not sending out frequencies like others. Okay. And these photoreceptor cells pass up through the stalk into the cerebellum through the corpora quadrigemina. The pineal gland is the only endocrine gland whose nerve fibers terminate in the cerebellum rather than the cerebrum. It secretes melatonin and serotonin. Okay. It's the primary communication link between the soul and the brain. Even Alice Bailey says that a lot, that it's the pineal that is oxygenated. She says there's other areas with the connection to your personality, but mostly the connection to your soul frequency comes in through the pineal. Some call it the eye of God, eye of Horus, and you know, they say you can actually hurt it by using toothpaste with you know, it's got, oh, what's the chemical, you know what I'm talking about. So you want toothpaste without any oh God, I'm blanking on that one. Everybody knows the name. So anyway, let me show you the pineal here. Okay. Fluoride. No fluoride in your toothpaste, because that will make the pineal gland calcify. Here it is. It's this little tiny pea on the back of this whole contraption. It's so small. Right? And it's totally our connection to source. Right? It's really, really amazing. Right? So, let me play for you a second of the pineal frequency, and then we'll play a Tom Kenyon song with those, a whole song of the Hathors channeling through him. Okay, so here's the pineal frequency. Endocrine, pineal. There we go. Your connection to source. Then here's the Tom Kenyon song channeling the Hathors for the pineal gland. Tune in to your pineal and open up your crown while listening to this. Thank you. Just want to get high around here. Oh my God. They say that the pineal is the controller of all the other glands. I want to know, how does that work? Although the problem is most people don't have their crown or pineal activated open very much. So it's like the controller, there's nothing controlling everything. I mean, it's kind of working on its own. But when you open your crown, oh my God, I had a meditation in Mount Shasta in the pyramid where they just did the crown and then open lower all the way, every chakra and energon clan all the way down to my root one by one, but opening the spirit into the crown first. And then when you get all of this going, you've now got the kundalini energy can flow. So once all of the endocrine glands are online and humming at their frequency, then that's the whole deal. It's the kundalini energy flowing up and down through all of the chakras and endocrine glands. And that is, so it's relationship and the flow that is actually the whole deal that we're really wanting. I want to show you one more thing before we end. Here is an actual chart of all the actual endocrine glands versus, oh, let's see, oh, here it is over here. And, I guess I don't have it. Oh, here it is. I know where it is. Okay, so this is, shows all of the different relationship between the endocrine glands, the chakras, and all of the auras as well, because they're tied into this whole system as well. So, imagine we have it all figured out. So, all frequency of every endocrine gland is known, and the relationship and flow for you is known, so we can light everybody up like a Christmas tree. Imagine being lit up like a Christmas tree. Hold that frequency for today, tomorrow, weeks, months, years, and lifetimes. Christmas tree lit up. Thank you.